Good morning. You guys ready to go? All right. Hey, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Let's go. Yeah, it's amazing. And we just want you to know we're so thankful for the work that you do to nurture and love us in our life. Sometimes we're not the easiest to deal with, but we appreciate your love. And we're praying. I hope this morning you receive from the Lord and you receive honor for the good work that you have done to love your kids. I pray that you receive strength for the work that you have yet to do. And I pray you receive abundant grace for the work that you feel has fallen short. Scripture says that God gently leads those who have young. And as a church, we hope that you receive 10 times from your Heavenly Father the nurture and kindness that you have shown us. So today is a day to celebrate you. Thank you, moms out there, wherever you are in the stage of mothering. All right, so when you were a little kid, what did you appreciate about your mom?
Candy.
Candy. Yes, that's good. What else? What? Kindness? Good. What else did you like, would you appreciate about your mom when they were a little kid?
Cleaned up.
Good, yeah. I mean, we saw that up there. Yeah, good. Superpower cleaning. Way up there. It's a superpower. Anything else? What did you appreciate about your mom when you were a little kid?
To the beach.
Yes. Man, that's amazing. Anybody get stories? I got stories. You know, sometimes you get stories. When you're a little kid, they read things to you. So here we go. Ready? One day as a little red hen was scratching in the field, she found a grain of wheat. The wheat should be planted, she said. Who will plant this grain of wheat? Not I, said the duck. Not I, said the cat. Not I, said the dog. Then I will, said the little red hen, and she did. Soon the wheat grew to be tall and yellow. The wheat is ripe, said the little red hen. Who will cut the wheat? Not I, said the duck. Not I, said the cat. Not I, said the dog. Then I will, said the little red hen, and she did. Then the wheat was threshed. Oh, then the wheat was ready to be cut, and the little red hen said, who will cut the wheat? Not I, said the duck. Not I, said the cat. Not I, said the dog. Then I will, said the little red hen, and she did. When the wheat was cut, she said, who will thresh this wheat? Not I, said the cat. Not I, said the duck. Not I, said the dog. Then I will, said the little red hen, and she did. When the wheat was threshed, the little red hen said, who will take this wheat to the mill? Not I, said the cat. Not I, said the duck. Not I, said the dog. Then I will, said the little red hen, and she did. She took the wheat to the mill, and it was ground into flour, and then she said, who will make this flour into bread? Not I, said the duck. Not I, said the cat. Not I, said the dog. Then I will, said the little red hen. And she did. She made and broke the bread, and then she said, who will eat this bread? Oh, I will, said the duck. Oh, I will, said the cat. Oh, I will, said the dog. No, no, said the little red hen. I will do that. And she did. What is the point of this message? If you want to share in the joy and the fruit of the harvest, you have to involve in the work, right? The sermon series is about preparing for harvest, right? It's about preparing for a harvest. What do we see in people who are ready for fruitfulness? We see a people ready to work. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that you are here. Lord, we know you're here, you're everywhere, and yet you said when there are two or more gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of us, so we know this morning that you are uniquely here. And Lord, we know also that we're not wise enough to know you, strong enough to follow you, or good enough to save ourselves. And yet you have come, and you've sent your Holy Spirit, And so we lean into you. You are the one who can help us understand who you are, strengthen us, and you're the one who has made us clean. So we turn our hearts to hear your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 9, verses 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. A harvest needs workers, right? A harvest needs workers. And so how did Jesus get there? How did he get there? Why did he say this? And how he saw it is he saw the crowds. He saw them. And what he said is he described them as like sheep without a shepherd. So that's like they were alone to deal with their sickness. They were alone to deal with their disease. They were alone to deal with the reality of this world and its harshness. They were alone to deal with that which would prey on them. They were alone to deal with the confusion about where to go. They were alone to deal with their questions. They were alone. And Jesus saw the state of the crowds, and it moved him to compassion for them. And in our prep for spiritual harvest, we begin in the same place that Jesus begins, right? To see people, to be moved in compassion. Our work is to be motivated by compassion, to see. Do you see people, the people around you? Do you see them? Do you see their needs? Do you see their struggles? Do you see their need for the Lord? Do you see their state? You know, sometimes I see it, and I'm like, wow, oh man, this person needs the Lord. And sometimes, if I'm honest, people seem like they have their life pretty much in order, right? I don't see their need. They seem good. They just seem good. Well, let me lift your eyes a little bit. Let me give you a picture here. We are a people in the midst of a divorce from the divine, right? We, as a people, have decided that we would like to free ourselves from the burden of following any God or anything bigger than ourselves, right? We've attempted to move that way. We want freedom. R.J. Snell, in his book, Acedia and His Discontents, talks about this freedom that we've won for ourselves. He says this, "Free, yes, but the world seems to have lost its magic, and we have experienced the great disembedding, and have a sense of malaise, emptiness, a need for meaning. There is a sense that our freedom came at a cost, namely the loss of higher purpose, of anything worth living for. And so the only remainder is a centering on self. And since the world is devoid of thick meaning, the world itself loses depth, sinking to the level of a mere resource for use and abuse in pursuit of our own rather shallow comfort. This freedom is throwing off of God leads to a shallow life. Leads to a shallow life without meaning, devoid of depth. But we know the creator of the universe, right? We know he created thick meaning in this place. And we know we're not alone. Our work is to be motivated by compassion. So as we see people, let's let a burden build in us for those around us, right? Let's let the burden, as we encounter the heart of the Lord, let's let a burden build in us, and let's pray for that. The harvest needs workers. It needs workers. Now, I believe evil wants to lie to you this morning. I believe evil wants to distract you this morning. And for some of you, you hear this passage, and you think, you know, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, and you think to yourself, that's not me. I don't feel called to full-time ministry. That's not me. But this passage is not about a call to vocational ministry. This passage is a call to mission. And mission is living sent. And living sent is loving your neighbor and making disciples of Jesus, right? That's our call. I was interacting with a woman in our church a little while ago, and she was pursuing a hobby of hers that she hadn't had the chance to do in a while. She was pursuing this, and we were talking, and she said, well, I've been doing this, and I wonder if I should just be giving more time to the church. And I said, well, why is that? Well, I just kind of think maybe I should be doing that. I said, well, when you're time with the Lord, do you feel like that's the case? She says, no, not really. I said, do you feel like he's convicting you to do that? And she said, no, I just feel guilty. I said, well, that's not the voice of the Lord. God doesn't need to have guilt. You clearly have joy, and it's good for you. So keep pursuing it. Well, I kid you not, a couple hours later, this person who's pursuing this hobby in this thing that they're doing, you have to try out for things. And she was talking to this other guy who was trying out, and he said, I'm so stressed out. I don't know if they're going to pick me or not. And she says, I feel pretty good. He says, you just seem calm in this situation. Well, this isn't my whole life. This doesn't bring my value. He says, I don't get that. She says, well, do you have a faith background? He says, I don't, but I'm really open. And she got to begin to share what the impact of the gospel was to this person who had no faith background. And she would have never encountered this person if she gave all her time to the church, right? We follow Jesus, right? We follow Jesus. And when we follow Jesus, we are transformed by his heart. We are moved by his heart and his compassion. We are not driven by guilt and a burden of duty, right? And when we follow him, we get the opportunity to reach out to those around us. It's connecting with the heart of Christ, not burdening yourself with duty, that leads to fruitful ministry. Now, as we encounter Christ and that burden grows, we have opportunities and we get to see them, right? So we have the burden grows, there's opportunities all around us to witness. So we will be prepared as a people for the harvest, not when the staff or the pastors do some extraordinary feat of ministry, but rather when everyone in the church participates in the normal, everyday work of living the life of mission. Right? It's just a normal, everyday work. It is normal when you encounter the love of Christ to love your neighbor. Right? It's normal to love your neighbor, to meet someone outside of the church well enough to serve them, right? That's normal when you have the heart of Christ. Or to serve a friend outside the church, to go out of your way to do that. That's normal when you encounter the heart of Christ, right? So when we know Christ, that happens. It's an ordinary act of worship to tell who Jesus is, what he's done, how he's impacting your life to those around you. It's just normal. It's ordinary. So the truth is that when we all join together in the common everyday work of living the lifestyle of mission, we come together, we become a powerful workforce in the harvest. Amen? Amen. The harvest needs workers. Mark 4. Jesus also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come. So there's this work of sowing, and then the seed's in the ground, and the farmer, he can be working, he can be sleeping, he can be working, and the thing grows. It produces fruit. It grows. It grows up, and it produces grain. And so he can hang out in the barn. But when the harvest comes, you got to get in the field, right? You got to get in the field. Listen, church, this is the barn. This is the barn. And there is a lot of meaningful, significant work to be done in the barn. But when the harvest comes, if we just try to upgrade our tractor, the ripe fruit is going to rot on the vine. Jesus said, pray that the Lord would send out laborers into the harvest field. And so being a worker is just following Christ wherever you are, whatever you're doing. You have a burden and you have opportunities around you, wherever you are. And when you have those burden and that opportunity, we need boldness to go, right? We need boldness to step in to those moments, to talk to people, to share who Jesus is, or to serve people, to step in with boldness, to go into the harvest field. You know, sometimes I forget the power of the gospel. You ever forget about the power of the gospel? It's pretty crazy. Do you know that Jesus rose from the dead? Do you know that? Do you know, I mean, we just celebrated a couple weeks ago. Jesus died and got up. And today he sits at the right hand of the Father. And from the right hand of the Father, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to Ann Arbor, to this campus. The Holy Spirit is in this place. He has sent the Holy Spirit to the city of Ann Arbor, the surrounding area, and to the campus to convict people of sin and to lead them into all truth. That is the truth of the gospel, right? That's happening. And I forget the power to transform a life. The Apostle Paul was a violent religious zealot, and he encountered Jesus and the gospel, and he brought the truth of grace and mercy and love to the world. That's the power of the gospel. St. Augustine was a self-centered hedonist, did all the stuff. He encountered the gospel through his mother who prayed for him diligently, and he became probably one of the greatest religious Christian thinkers of that millennia. Crazy. Harriet Tubman was a sickly, escaped slave. And because she encountered the gospel, she knew Jesus, she went back over and over again and brought people out of slavery. Chuck Colson was a ruthless, corrupt henchman for Richard Nixon and went to jail. And then he encountered the gospel in jail and spent the rest of his life serving a people in jail. The gospel transforms people. It's powerful. Across my hall, there was a guy. There was a guy who's, I think it was his entertainment, to torment campus crusaders. I think they call it crew now. But they would come in and talk to him, and he was pretty sharp, and the volume would go up. And I could hear it from across the hall. And he'd do over and over again. That same person encountered the gospel a little bit later, came to Christ, and then went into ministry and has led thousands of people in the gospel. And he encountered in the mall walking along, he met one of these Campus Crusade guys who had reached out to him and said, "Hey, how you doing? Hey, good. What are you doing now?" "Oh, I'm a pastor." And the guy about floored. Right? The power of the gospel to transform, we can't forget. So in those moments, we need boldness, right? We need boldness to step in. And that's just normal everyday life for a believer. That's not some extraordinary thing. So we trust the Holy Spirit. Harvest needs workers. Galatians 6:9. "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up." Sometimes we don't see it coming, right? We don't see the work. We don't see it producing anything. Listen, this is what Galatians says is we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. We keep going. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pull out your phone right now. I want you to pull it out. And I want you to set an alarm for tomorrow at 9:35. I mean, some of you might not be up, but you can get up. It's 9:35. 9:35 just so you know, is the passage we started with, Matthew 9:35. You're going to set an alarm tomorrow. And when that alarm goes off, you're going to pray that the Lord will give you a burden or an opportunity or boldness right where you are. Right where you are, okay? Some people call this praying for Bob. Burden, opportunity, and boldness, right? So you're going to pray for Bob tomorrow at 9:35. Sound good? All right, let's do this, okay? The harvest needs workers. Listen, when the Lord wants to do something, he moves his people into the field. He moves his people. And I want you to know that it's already happening. It's already happening. So a little while ago, city staff decides, let's do a gospel sharing training thing, and we'll bring this guy in. We did it a couple weeks ago, and it was kind of, let's do this. I think people will come. Our goal was to have 15 people show up. We had 50. 50 people came to learn how to love and serve and witness to Christ to those around them. 50. God's doing something already. And if you want to share in the joy and the fruit of the harvest, you got to be a part of the work, right? The wheat is ripe, said the little red hen. Who will cut the wheat? Not I, said the duck. Not I, said the cat. Not I, said the dog. Then I will, said New Life Church. And she did. Now, before I finish, I want to end by circling back to moms. Listen, sometimes you hear this. If you're a mom, especially with young kids, your walls can close in on you sometimes, right? And you hear talks like this and you think, I want to be a part of it. I'm just trying to hang on to life. Don't you let Satan lie to you. You are on the front lines of the gospel. The next generation is our future. And you're changing diapers or working through a conflict or driving to some place for the nth time is a witness to them of the gospel. You are on the front lines, and we are so thankful for you. Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due time, you'll reap a harvest if you don't give up. Let's pray. Lord, we know you created this world. It is yours, and we ruined it. And yet you did not give up. You are rescuing, redeeming us, and you will redeem this place. This world has thick meaning. Thick meaning. And so, Lord, we just pray that that you would see our part, wherever we are, to love and serve those around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.